Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators. Coming to you after, you know, we said all in the pregame show, Tennessee doesn't come into the Swamp and win. But unfortunately, they came into Gainesville and beat the living tar out of the Gators Saturday night in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, 31-11. Frustrating night, despite 90,000 fans showing up. What do you guys say about the fans showing up for a 3-7 football team and then going out there and laying an egg despite the 17th straight sellout?
Yeah, the atmosphere before the kickoff was electric. It was packed. The students were there loud and proud early. The alumni section was totally full. It was a sold-out, jam-packed thing. I like that they turned the lights off before we started. You know, it was one of those where the energy in the building, I thought that we were going to come out there and kick some absolute butt. And then they threw a slant over the middle on the very first play that went for 15 yards. And I think that was like their shortest gain of the entire first half. So all the energy went out the building very quickly. But shout out to the fans, man. 3-7, interim head coach. They were fired up, ready to play Tennessee. And unfortunately, the players and the coaching staff just were not there.
Yeah. And guys, just a reminder, we're part of the Stadium and Gale Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is out of Lake City, Florida, a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. You can give Guy a call at 386-752-7240. If you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate wills, or trust and estate planning, make sure you guys like, subscribe, and follow us on YouTube and Twitter at Breakfast WTG. Well, I know a few of us stuck around for a majority of the game. Dev, let's get your insight of your view from the tunnel. I know you saw Urban Meyer down there pregame watching the guys warm up. It sucked. We were down almost 21-0 before we could even honor him with the announcer going to the Ring of Honor. How was your experience in the Swamp tonight?
Yeah, it first of all, Urban was locked in to pregame warmups. He stood on the sideline, you know, about the 25-yard line once the game started. Can't imagine he liked much of what he saw. Putting him in the Ring of Honor, the right move, way overdue. I thought he got a good reception. So really happy that we made that right, that he got welcome back to the Swamp, and then he'll get welcome back to the Swamp again next year. The crowd was full. Was really, really impressed with the energy in the place. You know, you get the place rocking like that, first time at home in over a month. Fans are ready to be back in the stadium, and then just to be greeted with the most embarrassing, shameful, disgusting display of Gator football I think I've ever seen. And that, and you know, that's, we've seen a lot of disgusting football over the last 15 years, but for it to be against those guys, it was the most disgusting thing. I heard Rocky Top 37 times in the first quarter and a half. 28-0. When they ran on 3rd and 17 and scored a touchdown, I shout out to Mikey and Nicole. They were sitting with me at the game. I gave them a hug, patted the Tennessee fans that were all around me on the shoulder, and told them to have a good night, and walked myself up those stairs. And stood at the top of the stairs as they reviewed to see if the ball came out, if it went through the back of the end zone. But I got out of there, and I watched about the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter from the couch. I couldn't take hearing Rocky Top anymore. I couldn't take hearing an old man behind me, you know, go woo every single, you know, course. It was a miserable, disgusting, awful night of football in the Swamp, and it's a good thing I got out of the building. I helped the team, credit to me. They outscored Tennessee 11-3 after I left. So just a disgusting night of football in the Swamp, and hopefully rock bottom. I do worry that rock bottom might come next week if the same thing happens against FSU and we don't get the coaching news that we want. But heaven forbid, because this was a pretty low night in the history of Gator football, in my opinion.
It got real bad. I think it was the start of the fourth quarter. Tennessee fans were chanting, "It's great to be a Tennessee volunteer," and Gator chomping, echoing throughout the swamp. So
we've had a lot of those games. It seems like those games usually come against Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina. That feels – Georgia's done it a couple times, but that's just – it's Georgia. Tennessee doing that just kind of has that new low feel to it. Because normally we don't play this
4-8 in a season, but we play our third game, and we're 2-1 at that point, and a little bit of hope left in the season. But not when we're 3-7. They're out of a playoff spot, but still hoping to finish with a 9-3 record. They got a big home game next week against Vanderbilt. So, yeah, this was one of the worst, if not the worst night. Miami last year rivals this with the expectations we had, and against an in-state rival. was just embarrassing. Hunter, what were your thoughts of the game? They just beat us off the ball from the get-go.
Yeah, I thought Chinyulu looked good. He rebounded the ball well. I thought our big man Condon. Sorry. It was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in the swamp. It was, and I think it makes it even worse when you see all of the and all credit to the fans having that place packed. But it almost makes it worse, you know, seeing all the hype and seeing all the pictures of like, holy crap, like sold out swamp at night. 3-7 team, and still every seat in there is packed. I'm very top of the stands. And then, like what Will said, I mean, after the ball was snapped, it just felt like it was immediately you knew what was coming, right? It was miserable. It was miserable. It was one of the worst games I've ever watched live. I watched some of the second half sitting there with Jackson, and, it was depressing. It was depressing to see. And we'll get into it here in a little bit, but if I have to hear one more fan cheer and genuinely have joy in their voice when they break the scoreless streak, I'm going to lose my mind. I'll never root against the Gators. For a good minute there, Jackson and I were hoping we just didn't score, because my goodness, it makes me so mad. I know it's like a controversial take. A lot of people genuinely care about the streak. My father-in-law is sitting at home right now fuming that I'm talking about this, because the streak is precious to him and it's precious to me. It makes me so mad. We had a guy doing play-by-play commentary of the
on Facebook Live
field goal kick that broke the streak. I mean, he was celebrating like we just won the national championship, and it was a field goal from Trace Mack to make it 31-3. I mean,
I was up there in the wine and cheese crowd with Touchdown Terrace, and we kicked the field goal. I was, huzzah, huzzah, huzzah.
It makes me so mad. I mean, I get it. It's an impressive streak, but it's just so sad when you're 3-7, about to lose to a team that you haven't lost to in the swamp since 2003, and you're getting just the breaks beat off of you. And it's like, yeah, everyone's high-fiving just to – so we cut it to 31-3. There were people before the timeout. They were pissed that we were about to go for it on fourth down. So we're 31-0 in the middle of the third.
They were booing.
It was crazy.
I loved it. I loved it because it was 4th and 8, and there was like, you take
the points.
Like, what are you talking about?
You take the points. You got to cut when you get the chance to cut it from a 5-score game to a 4-score game. You got to do it.
That's 4-score to 4-score. That's a 4-score lead to a 4-score.
4-score to 4-score.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot get 8 yards in one play. That's just not possible.
Makes me so mad.
I have it on good authority that the holding call that cost us the game on that first drive was total BS. Barber did not hold on that play. So take that for what it's worth.
If we
to get us from the jump.
If we get that big run and they go down there and they get 6 and it's tied 7-7, totally different ball game. players are into it, and you know, you don't have Tyreek Sapp emptying in the clip on the Tennessee sideline like he's some gangbanger down 31-3, and you don't have, you know, Bryce Lovett taunting, doing the L dance when we score a touchdown to make it 31-9 with like 8 minutes left. And you don't have Devin Moore talking trash to the wide receiver when the only play that Devin Moore got involved in was like a 15-yard catch. And then they're down there on the goal line and they just bulldoze it over us for a touchdown to make it 21-0. And he's talking trash to the wide receiver. I'm like, get these losers out of here. I am so sick and tired of it. I had said that the team wasn't going to quit. And I think that they did, like, tonight, it just didn't matter. They were, there's a very big difference between like quitting and just like not having the competitive mentality to show up like when it's a 0-0 game. And I mean, they just don't have it. They're a bunch of losers inside and they need some fresh blood in here just to change the whole mentality. I'm tired of it. Redshirt seniors, redshirt juniors, upperclassmen and everything. People that are talking, oh, we got to play for the patch, play for the logo in the middle of summer. But they're emptying the clip against Tennessee, their whole sideline pretending to shoot them up when you're down 4 touchdowns and a field goal. Give me a break. That is the most embarrassing thing I have ever seen. I hope we actually cancel the game against FSU. Those guys like Tyreek Sapp, you shouldn't be able to walk on senior day. Just go ahead and go off to the NFL, hit the combine, pal. Cause that was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my time watching the Gators, which is a long time. And now having seen Kentucky and that, I think I've witnessed 2 of the worst Gator losses ever in the span of 3 weeks. We're hurting over here.
Common denominator.
The common denominator might be me. I did wear my lucky shirt. The lucky shirt ran out. It could not overcome whatever that was.
And burn and that shirt.
Any lucky shirt I had entering the Napier era is I need a new wardrobe when Lane Train announces he's coming to the University of Florida next Saturday.
Yeah.
I think it's time to go shopping and restart the lucky. Yeah.
Please save us, Lane Kiffin. Please. We're begging you. I'm on my knees.
He's coming.
Layla, you have got me on my knees. Layla. I'm begging, darling, please, Layla.
Pause.
Darling, won't you ease my pain, Layla, please? Come home.
Yeah. Well, we Dev mentioned earlier, we did have the coach with the most national championships ever on the Florida sideline in Urban Meyer. I felt bad for him. The reception he got was underwhelming just because where we were in the stage of the game. I thought he deserved a larger ovation, in my opinion. There were people around me that don't like him. And it baffled me. I mean, the guy's the only coach in Florida history at multiple national championships. I mean, Hunter, I know you're about 6-7 rows behind me. Was it the same reaction from the folks in your corner?
Yeah, honestly, that surprises me. I heard there was like a couple rows back. I heard one person kind of sarcastically give like a boo, but like not like a constant booing, just like said it once. Besides that, all I heard was cheering. That surprises me a little bit. I agree. Just where we were at in the game, it wasn't maybe as much juice as you would get if it was, you know, 14-0 Florida or a competitive game. But, you know, besides maybe a little less juice due to us being killed, I thought it was a decent reception. I didn't hear much booing or anything like that.
There was a couple of things in the video that, you know, you hear. I sit in the end zone where the visitors are on in the corner of the end zone, you know, same side of the stadium. They were booing Urban, obviously. And the comment that I made in the stadium was I would boo him too, because – The video that they showed, he was 17-2 against rivals, 2 SEC championships, 2 national championships. Of course they hate him. They still hate him. And that's exactly why he should be beloved at the University of Florida. And it's exactly why he's going into the Ring of Honor. I thought that he got a great reception. I had somebody in the one of the season ticket holders that sit around us ask me, who I thought we should hire, and I answered Lane, but she was like, well, I think he's going to LSU, and said, no, I disagree. And she was like, well, if it's not him, who would you want? And I pointed down on the field at Urban Meyer, and we had this back and forth of, would you really want him back? And I pointed to the national championships on the wall. I pointed to the SEC championships on the wall. I pointed to the name in the rafters that's going to be there forever. It's silly to me, you know, 10 years later to, or 10 years later, 15 years later, to continue to hold a grudge and not appreciate that he is a champion, two-time national champion, that's never going to get taken away no matter how it ended. That's always how he should be remembered. And like I said earlier, and like y'all kind of agreed so far, it's long overdue that he's in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I'm excited to see which game. Did they announce on the video
they board? They said it'll be next year, but they didn't say what game.
Have to talk with Lane, get Lane's input, see what game he thinks.
We'll do Ole Miss next time.
I kind of thought they did Urban a little wrong, just giving him like a first quarter timeout there and like, hey, say, you know, 15 seconds of one line and then, oh, by the way, we're going to induct you into the Ring of Honor, even though it's like 10 years overdue. Could have made more of a show about it, you know. A hype video that was like longer than 15 seconds would have been nice.
Does inducting him into the Ring of Honor take him out of the running to be the next head coach?
I don't think it has. Doesn't weigh one way or the other.
That would be
kind of. I think if Urban wanted to be the head coach, he could literally walk right in and say, hey, I want the job, and he would get it.
He just might.
If he gets past the first guy, it might come down to that.
He just might.
Is this his first time in the swamp since he left?
Wasn't he back? He was last year, year before. I'm almost positive he was back the last couple of years.
They said welcoming him back to the swamp, but I think the same. I think he's been back.
I don't remember the game, but I'm almost positive in the last couple of years during the Billy Napier era, he was back at one point.
I think it was to celebrate one of the championship teams, like 15 years from 2006, maybe, or something.
Possibly.
Maybe 15 years from the 2008 team in 2023.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Might have been the Utah game. Billy's first game.
Utah's what came to my mind as well, Dev. Utah's what came to my mind.
Yeah.
Regardless. You got any voicemails tonight, Jackson?
Yeah, we got our boy Sam, who's down somewhere in South Florida at a wedding. I think he has a special guest, a listener, I think a caller a time or two. So let's get Sam's voicemail. I believe Buckeye.
Hey guys, it's Sam from Scottsdale here calling in. Truly didn't get to watch much of the game. Saw the opening drive. We gave up a score, but I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here with the one and only Buckeye Jack, and he's got a few thoughts to share. But I will say, I would like to take this time to publicly endorse Kenny Dillingham as our number two option if shit hits the fan. I know it's a family show. My apologies. But here's Buckeye Jack. He has many of thoughts for the boys. Lifelong listener, first-time caller, but Buckeye Jack, we all know him. Buckeye Jack's a great fan of the show, so here's Buckeye Jack's thoughts.
I just want to say, first and foremost, I'd like to formally apologize to Will Norris and everything I said about him and who he is as a person. I do want to take this time to say mid-fish is not the option. Second, Sam's opinion about Kenny Dillingham. Lane Kiffin does not look likely. He'll probably be at Ole Miss. But I do want to say to all the Gator fans listening, the light of the tunnel is there. There's a reason why it's called a tunnel, because the tunnel has two sides. And there will be the light of the day. It is always darkest before the dawn. And my Gator friends, I swear to you, things will get better. I promise you. Orange and blue will reign supreme in the state of Florida and in the Southeastern Conference, but not any further. Go Gators.
And that's a Buckeye Jack prophecy. Love you, boys. Great show. Absolute honor to call in. Thank you for everything.
I love you, Devin.
Wow.
Love you too, Buckeye Jack.
Buckeye Jack was really onto something there right at the beginning when he said, you know, some things.
He doesn't need to be apologizing to Will for anything. The light, the tunnel having two sides. I mean, wow, that was deep. That was
orange to blue. Will reign supreme in the state of Florida. I like that. I might put that on my wall at my office.
Unfortunately, we do got to give. We get, sorry, Hunter. Go ahead. Take it.
My bad, bro. We had a shout out to Key West Sam at the tailgate tonight. We had Jack Young and his dad, Mark Young, come by, and Mark had listened to our Batesy show. And the first thing he said was like, well, where's Key West Sam? I want to meet Key West Sam. And we had to break the unfortunate news that he wasn't there. So I had to give a shout out to Key West Sam. So it was nice of him to call in. Sorry, Jackson.
Unfortunately, another praise for Will. And we do have this on video. He showed up to the tailgate today.
Credit to me. It was great to finally meet you guys in person.
just putting this out there, we are 0-1 when Will attends our tailgates. So something to monitor moving forward. Yeah. I know we'll all be back in Gainesville next week. By the way, tailgate picture I put online today. I just want to say sorry, Burkle. He's catching a lot of strays online. I didn't realize he's in the photo I posted on Twitter, and Ole Miss fans found it, and they saw him in the side of the picture, and they gave him a hard time.
They're also ripping you. They're saying that picture you were talking bad about the Grove, and you posted a picture with just a couple chairs and a tent, and one guy is sitting there. And
it was 9 a.m.
The people are wondering if you meant to do that as a troll.
It was a good troll. Your picture looked how the Grove looked until 3 o'clock in the afternoon when we were there.
Thank you, Dev. And you can attest, like the others, that about 20, 25 people are there by the end of the day. So it was fine for a tailgate.
I can't believe how mean people were being to our boy Burkle.
Those Ole Miss and LSU fans have been mean all week. You just, you know, you can tweet a devotional and they're calling you a cuck and all these other things. Photos of your face, and I'm just like, man, I don't ever think about you people. I'm just trying to get my work. They're
mad that we are hiring their coach and that we're going to undercut the other one.
I guess technically we're stealing LSU's coach too, since it's a done deal, right?
Yeah, it's a strange done deal. The done deal that they keep finalizing offers for, and the offers keep getting pushed up according to the media. It's interesting the way that this LSU stuff's getting reported on.
And it was certainly interested Pete Thamel's segment on College Game Day Saturday morning, along with Pat McAfee's and Nick Saban's commentary shortly after. Hunter, were you able to get in front of the TV this morning for College Game Day and hear that segment? I know Dev and I were tuned in.
No, I wasn't able to see it, but from what you guys said, it seems like for the most part Pete focused on LSU and Ole Miss and a couple mentions of Florida, but not much else. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's fair. And Devin brought up a great question. Would you rather have the buzz this week or, you know, the 24 hours leading up to the announcement, or just have the kind of, I guess, to the national media and to two other fan bases, a surprise announcement if he picks the Gators?
Yeah, of course. You want it closer to when it's going to happen. I mean, LSU, like Devin said, it's a done deal a couple of days ago. LSU's popping champagne bottles already, and Pete Thamel's get on there talking about LSU being the main threat to Ole Miss, and then we're getting tweets about the offer, and then a couple hours later, oh, there you go, offer goes up again, and the key word there is an offer, not a deal. So LSU can continue popping champagne bottles, but hey, feel fine with where we're at.
Good for the LSU fans, man. Y'all won this round. Y'all sit back, have a drink this week. It's gonna be a good few days for you guys.
Luckily, Ole Miss or LSU has never done this before. Like in 2021, they certainly were not talking about how Lincoln Riley was a done deal. None of their beat writers were going on shows and podcasts and saying, yeah, Lincoln Riley is done to LSU, only for him to go to USC. And they certainly did not do it back in 2017 when they hired Ed Orgeron, when they were all saying that Jimbo Fisher and Tom Herman, somehow they were going to co-coach together, but they were both done deals at one point. And somehow they ended up with Ed Orgeron. So, LSU is leading the country in done deals for coaches that never have coached a down of football for their team.
Now, wait a minute, Will. Are you telling me that Miss Terry Sabin did not chaperone the Kiffin family around Baton Rouge on Monday?
No, they had the LSU Cicerones out there giving the tours. And I've got it on pretty good authority that Layla knows it's just not Gainesville. That's a fact. Baton Rouge is not Gainesville.
That's big if it's true.
It is. It is. Did Knox meet with any high school football coaches out there?
Unfortunately, Knox was not able to make the trip to Baton Rouge. He was, however, able to make the trip to Gainesville on Sunday.
Got it.
And the lightly reported family visit. They were just going to see Grandma Reeves, I'm sure.
You see his headphones, Jeff? You saw his beats, right?
Yeah. I saw his beats. That was pretty cool. I mean,
yeah.
It definitely, since Knox posted a picture with the Beats headphones 8 days before we're going to find out what Lane's going to do, he's definitely going to go to LSU. Definitely. Yeah.
He did. He was wearing Gator cleats that night for the game. So I don't know.
Do they have a Gator logo on them?
They were, I think so. I think they were the Gator, like, team blue.
Huh.
It doesn't fit. Did they give those
to just anybody?
What's that?
Did they give those to just anybody?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe they were hand delivered by some former employees.
Maybe they only go to grandsons of Gator legends or something. I don't know.
Layla was probably just doing some sort of like pre-Thanksgiving, you know, family meet and greet, because she couldn't make it out there for Thanksgiving because they're obviously going to be in Baton Rouge. So yeah, she needed to come a week early and see what's all going on in Gainesville.
Important to come.
She just wanted to walk the halls of Buchholz just for some sentimental, you know, throwing it back. Oh, there was my last back.
She hadn't seen Coach Whittemore in years. She wanted to see Coach Whittemore.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But we're just, this is all hypothetical, of course.
Yeah. Congrats to LSU. Congrats.
Congratulations to LSU. Let us be the first to Breakfast with the Gators, be the first to formally congratulate LSU.
On their offer. It's a big offer.
No. They haven't offered yet on finalizing their offer.
On finalizing the second offer. Yeah. The first one they increased. Yeah. Congrats on your second offer that you're finalizing.
They have to ask the governor first if they can send the offer.
The same governor that called Jimmy Sexton basically a criminal less than a month ago.
Do you think that Governor Landry started his criminal investigation into Jimmy Sexton yet, or do you think that they're waiting until after litigation settled with Brian Kelly before they?
In fairness to Governor Landry, he asked that all media members, quite like us, would take up that mantle and start doing the investigation. So, you know, maybe it's our time to step in and see what kind of criminal activity Mr. Sexton has been up to.
I've been reliably informed that after LSU's Board of Supervisors meeting last week, where they discussed how they're going to handle the litigation with Brian Kelly, after that meeting ended, this public board went into a back room to secretly talk Lane Kiffin. So we can't compete with something like that, unfortunately.
So you know how they were talking about how they finally figured out who had the authority to fire Brian Kelly?
Did they determine that yet?
They said they were determined it, but do you think that they've determined who can offer Lane? Because
no.
we haven't gotten that report yet. So they're preparing to finalize an offer. I think they're just sitting around wondering, like Virg Osbury is just sitting there like, are you the one that does it? Or is it me? Or who does it? I don't think they know. I don't know. I hope they end up with Billy Napier in just some psychotic world. That'd be beautiful.
But congratulations to LSU on their new coach.
Yeah, I'm just glad we don't have to see Lane Kiffin in the Swamp next year on the sidelines of the Tigers, as they are no longer a permanent opponent of ours. So we do catch a break there. So thank you, SEC and Greg Sankey, for not having them on our yearly schedule anymore. So, all right, anything else football related before we jump into a winning program on campus?
Yeah, We gotta, I know Gators, this sucked and that was awful, but get your minds right. We gotta get back in the swamp in a week and go beat the hell out of Florida State. Flush it. This team is very up and down. I know I just said some things earlier in the episode about Tyreek Sapp. I take them back if you come out and play your ass off. You gotta get in there and show some damn pride. This is the Florida State Seminoles coming in. I don't care if they're 5-7 and that if we beat them, they're probably gonna fire Mike Norvell, which would be worse for us long term. You gotta go in there and defend the swamp. Show some damn pride.
You would be correct on your preseason prediction, though, that he would be out of here.
Yeah, man. I mean,
it's a tough line for you to.
I am sucking wind. I could really use a correct prediction. So.
Well, there's one bright spot. Hunter was, I guess, if you want to call it right. Jaden Ball is 96 yards rushing, becoming the first 1,000-yard rusher since. And the regular season since, was it Kelvin Taylor? I think he did it in the bowl, yeah, in the SEC championship and bowl game. So it might be Gillisley and the regular season play.
I think I read Kelvin Taylor was the last one.
Yeah, Kelvin Taylor was on the timeline.
Kelvin Taylor was SEC championship and bowl game. That's how you had to get it. So he had less than 950. After the
Jaden Ball might be doing one of those things where he has like 1,200 yards after contact, but only 1,000 yards rushing, just because the guy gets hit at the line of scrimmage on every single play and somehow rarely gets tackled for loss. It's really funny watching Gator games and you're like, this offense is so bad. Then they hand it to Ball and you're just like, that guy's real good.
I want to see him in Lane Kiffin's offense so badly.
Unfortunately, that's going to have to happen in Baton Rouge.
I can't wait till he gets drafted to like Kyle Shanahan or maybe, you know, Andy Reid with the Chiefs or something, because that guy's a playmaker.
Yep, he's going to be a great NFL back.
And unfortunately, every big play he's had in the receiving game this year has been called back. I believe both of them – due to Austin Barber holding calls. So something to monitor.
If we get that one at LSU, maybe Billy doesn't even get fired. The SEC refs screw Florida again.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Oh, we're miserable right now.
This is depressing. But not depressing news. Friday night, I think, we talked about Miami on our midweek show, but Friday night, the Gators hosted Merrimack. All 11,000 fans. Can't see.
Put it in front of your face.
Yeah. Nice replica championship rings that all 11,000 fans got. Hunter and I were in attendance. Will had a reservation at a restaurant in town where he could not make it for the replica ring.
You guys are as unfair as SEC officials. I had to leave work and drive 2.5-3 hours all the way up here and was not going to make tip-off.
Hey, I didn't make tip-off either. I had to drive from Jacksonville. So
yeah, but at that point, I was hungry. And
if you were in the wine and cheese crowd like I was Friday night, they did have free dinner.
Yeah.
And
I needed some wontons in my system.
But yeah, great night for the Gators. Led 30-4 at one point. Ended up winning, I think, 80-45. And the highlight of the night is Oliver Rue. Pronounce his last name, 7'9" guy. First college points, had more points than our star-studded transfer from Princeton, if anybody could actually believe that. That made up for the entire night. I thought it was pretty sloppy the last 25 minutes, but seeing Ollie get in, the crowd reaction, the players around him. Hunter, you're there. What were your thoughts on on Friday night's win?
I mean, first half domination, obviously playing an inferior team like that. I think that's one thing about having a team where your front court is the strength, is when you play teams with inferior athletes, you're just going to be able to manhandle them down low, and that's exactly what we did. Ruben Chinyelu, I believe, 21 rebounds, which set many records. Crazy impressive. It felt like any ball that wasn't going in, he was going to grab. That was fun to watch. Condon looked good. Boogie distributed it well. Still wasn't finding the shooting necessarily. I think he knocked down a three in the first half. Lee, I'm getting concerned, boys. I'm getting concerned. I try to tried to give him the benefit of the doubt after the first few games. Obviously, did not start out well. Had that 1-for-10 night against FSU that everyone was concerned about, and I was concerned as well, and hoping he kind of finds his shot. Now it's starting to feel, you could tell he hears the noise and he feels it too. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like force isn't the word because he's not forcing shots. It feels like he's scared to shoot. I mean, there were multiple times where he was getting passes and there's people around you where it's an obvious open look where normally you'd shoot and you can kind of hear people do the, oh, shoot it, right? He passes it off. I'm a little nervous. It's going to take one of those games where it gets hot to start to feel comfortable, and hopefully that comes. Still holding out hope it does, but as of right now, the dude just doesn't look like he belongs on the floor. I hope it changes. Hope we're wrong on him, but getting a little nervous about him.
He's pressing bad. Like, the bad turnovers on top of the bad shooting. I mean, I think that the three that he made to open the season against Arizona is like the last time he made a three. Like, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's
what one against Florida State, hasn't hit one since.
It's rough, man. He's really pressing. When you have Ollie outscoring your starting point guard, it was a rough night. So hopefully, you know, we're kind of, I think, with what do we have, TCU next week on Thanksgiving, and then we'll have a game Friday.
Yeah.
We're kind of past the point of bye games for now, because it's you're out in San Diego, and then you got UConn and Duke. That's a stretch where you need your starting point guard to not lay eggs.
He's reminded me, I haven't seen a guy sort of not live up to the hype like this since Dan Werner. Dan Werner came in as Mr. Basketball in his first couple games. Like, he looked the part. We obviously had a team full of upperclassmen that were kind of carrying the weight, and he wasn't, you know, looked upon to be a contributor. But then when it was time to go, he just turned into the worst basketball player and one of the worst basketball players in Florida basketball history. Names written on bars and everything. Poor guy. Xavier Lee looks like he is taking that mantle where his name might be scribbled all over the dog bathrooms, and not in a favorable light. Poor guy. So hopefully he can start making some threes, and just, you know, he needs like Ruben to just set a really nice seal under the basket and just get a couple layups, and hopefully that can just get him back. He just doesn't have it right now. He almost looks like DJ Lagway out there, where you're just like, man, what happened to this guy?
Yeah, you saw him. A few of us stayed after the Florida State game for a little bit, and he came back out, signed some autographs, and then immediately went to the court and hit, I think, 13 or 14 straight triples. So obviously, really? We've seen the tape on this guy, and, you know, he can shoot the basketball, but boy, when that crowd starts yelling at you to shoot and you're not taking open shots and you're looking to pass first, boy, he's got the word we don't like to use in golf is the yips right now, and he's certainly feeling that from beyond the arc.
Yeah. It's Merrimack up 25-30, where it's like, there's no pressure, dude. Shoot the ball, you're fine. Like,
it's all right. The turnovers, too, when he is handling the ball, like, just the silly passes, you're throwing it down. Like, I get it that we out-athleted them. Like, Ruben obviously tied the modern-day school record for rebounds in the game. So you think, you know, just throw it down low and let the big men work. But he's doing it when they're double-covered and not open, and just bad, sloppy turnovers. Trying to get the ball up court, and he's not looking when the ball gets passed to him. Just things like that that you're just like, just relax. Take a deep breath and let's reset. And, you know, if it's not here in the next couple games, maybe the SEC play will be what, like, kind of resets him and recenters him back into the season a little bit. Cause I mean, that this feels like, and it's still too early, I think, to call it, but it feels like the first miss of the 3 years of Todd Golden, or 4 years of Todd Golden now. And we really needed to not miss on him, because, you know, you need either him or Urban, or, you know, one of these guys or one of the guards to step up. And right now it's Boogie's been really good defensively. He's been good up and down, I would say, I guess, offensively. So you really, really needed that, needed Lee to be able to pull his weight. So hopefully that changes. We got a great coach, so I trust that it will. But It's
a big away game helps. It kind of guy that feels like an away game helps at this point, right? I mean, the first cold night was home, and then last night, obviously 0 points home. Feels like it might help a little. Go to an away crowd, and nobody knows who you are. Just play basketball, man.
Even the Miami game in Jacksonville, where he struggled offensively. It was a home crowd, just in a different location. Right. So I agree with you. And these are going to be two quad two games. The Gators have the opportunity to go win during the Thanksgiving holidays before they go on the road at Cameron Indoor, which we all know is going to be probably the most hostile, despite being a small gymnasium. Most hostile crowd we're going to face all year, especially as a defending champion. So, yeah, hopefully it's a good kind of restart going out to the West Coast for him. It feels like Urban is kind of fighting for that starting role right now. I think he had 21 minutes against Merrimack. This is probably somewhere in that ballpark against Miami as well. Will, what are your thoughts on Klavjar, his three-point ability, his confidence, or – do you want to keep him on the bench to provide that spark? Because, I mean, eventually Xavier's got to get this thing going, right?
Yeah, I do like that he kind of comes off the bench with the second unit and does it. But I think that if, what other options is Todd going to have if Xavier's putting up goose eggs and he's not really defending, he's not really rebounding, it's kind of playing 4-on-5. I think that Urban, when he has the ball and he's the primary ball handler, looks much more comfortable than when he's just like looked at as some sort of Kyle Korver role where he just is, there to jack up three threes and hopefully two of them go in. So we'll see. I almost feel like that it's got to be mental with Lee. So maybe he just needs to sit on the bench for a little bit and like almost watch it next to, Sapphire or something and just coach a game and see if that helps. But the one I'm really looking out for is Zay Brown. I know the coaching Neil Blackman with Florida Basketball Hour have been talking about how high the coaching staff was on him. And I guess he must have had some sort of rough camp or something. So he sort of fell down the lineup. But you can see the athleticism and the talent is there. And Neil says that the coaching staff is trying to get him to be more consistent with his effort level and his commitment to just playing championship basketball every single play, every single time down the court. But that's a guy that's 6'5", can shoot it, can defend it, can rebound. And that's what you need. Think about like the guards Tennessee is going to throw at you in there. Think about like what Ole Miss is going to have with Chris Beard and some of these other schools that are probably contending for the SEC championship, Auburn and so on. We're going to need one of those other two guys, him or Urban, to step up because right now, Xavier Lee, one, he doesn't have it. And two, I don't know that he is physical enough or a good enough defender or rebound to make up for his liabilities on offense. And so do I want Urban to start? Might as well try it. Maybe it shakes something up and, puts a little spark into Xavier and then he's back to what everybody thought he was going to be before the season. But I trust Todd to figure out the answers. It's not like football where I've got to spout off all of my coaching hot takes because the coach is clearly not getting it done. I could just be like, trust Todd. He'll figure it out.
Just trust the process. I will say I worry about how we match up with some – like Alabama comes to mind. The last few years we've matched up so well with them because we can shoot with them. And we try to play better defense. I'm not sure. I think that we're getting there. I think that this team really needs to commit to being elite defensively and to beat you up inside, kind of similar to like what Tennessee has done over the last few years, just because the shooting isn't there. And I worry that, for lack of a better word, there's some ass beatings in our future if we're not able to hit shots, just because like in Alabama that – is going to just shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. If they get hot in a game, I don't know if we have the firepower in the backcourt to keep up in that kind of game. But that's a down the road problem. That's something that, we've said it, it's November 23rd. This is going to be a very different team come January and then a very different team come March. So it's a concern right now, but I think that it's not anything that, that can't develop or change as we get, further along into the season.
Yeah. And I'll just add the loss to Arizona, in the front court got beat up that game. Condon looked lost. Chen looked lost. We played four opponents, two of them formidable in the in-state rivals of Florida State and Miami, and they've taken ownership in these four games. So hopefully they continue that going out west against TCU and Providence and Wisconsin? Is that who we played the Friday?
Winner of Providence and Wisconsin, most likely Wisconsin.
Yeah, and Arizona, we talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago. They ended up playing UCLA and UConn. They went into stores and beat UConn.
Up 8 or 10 points with 4 or 5 minutes left too. I mean, I know got close to that at the last minute, but
Arizona's a good ball team. That Pete guy, I don't think that we'll see very many players better than him this season. But they might have the best resume in the country. They may be the number one team in the country come Monday. There's not a trio of wins so far this season better than Arizona beating us, beating UCLA, and beating UConn, and it's November 23rd.
Yeah. Kind of similar to Auburn last year when they got on that hot start to begin the year out in Maui and a few other places where they just racked up top 20, top 15 wins. But that can also take a toll on you later in the year. You grind out in November and come March, April, those legs get a little bit heavier. But, yeah, big one coming up Thursday. Another opportunity in the swamp for the Gators against Florida State, who are fighting for bowl eligibility after their just incredible loss to NC State on Friday night. That thankfully probably no one watched, because those nights are dedicated for high school athletics, which folks in Oxford, Mississippi, that can be played here in the state of Florida as well. So a lot of folks here were preoccupied.
Do they play high school football in Louisiana?
That's actually a really good question, Dev. I think they do. That's why LSU's got the leg up in this coaching search.
Real question. Do y'all think that Norvell's coaching for his job on Saturday?
Technically, his job is to coach. So he is coaching for
no. Us. I don't think he is.
I don't think he is either.
I think it depends how it looks. I think if that Florida team blows out the Noles, I don't know how they don't make a move. But
I just
know now that James Franklin has gone to Virginia Tech, which thank goodness we're about to have James Franklin, Jeff Brohm, Rhett Lashley, Dabo Swinney. Hopefully he makes a little bit of a return, wreaking havoc on Miami and FSU and the ACC. I'm all for that. I don't know where they turn. I guess they could try to hire Golish or something like that, but
that's a lot of money to pay out Mike Norvell to go hire a G4 coach.
It's a tough question.
So who did Virginia Tech hire?
James Franklin.
Who's James Franklin's agent?
That would be Jimmy Sexton.
James Sexton.
Who is Lane Kiffin's agent?
Oh, you're gonna love this. Jimmy Sexton.
Okay. So you're telling me that Jimmy Sexton knows what Lane Kiffin's gonna do? Generally.
Yeah.
Where he's gonna coach next year.
Probably got a good idea.
Was James Franklin on Florida's coaching list? Top three, top four candidates, we think.
I heard that they vetted him, they Googled him, and they saw he was a decent coach and
got it.
Yeah.
So they did the Wikipedia. They saw that he had a couple decent years at Penn State. We heard that James Franklin was interested in the Florida job. We heard that Florida at least had some level of interest in James Franklin. It's just interesting that he would take the Virginia Tech job with the Florida job open and not really knowing where they're going to go next now that Lane Kiffin is heading to Baton Rouge. It's just an interesting little dynamic there with the agent web that's being weaved this offseason.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if LSU didn't up that offer. Remember that, Devin. They're in the process of finalizing that second increased offer. But
yeah. Well, they have a good long-standing relationship with Jimmy Sexton over at LSU, right?
Yeah, they're the well-oiled machine in Louisiana right now, my friend.
They've hired a Jimmy Sexton client like in the last 25 years, though, right?
I'm assuming the answer is no. I don't know that one off the top of my head. I'm assuming it's no.
They have not. No. They have not. This will be the first one, but hey, good on them. They've cracked the Jimmy Sexton code.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Well, I appreciate another shout out to the tailgate visitors today. We had Key West Sam shout out. Thanks to, you said Mark Young, Hunter, was his name that stopped by?
Mark Young, Mark and
Jack. Thank you, Mark. Yep. And Paul from Gainesville and John from Tampa also made some appearances. We appreciate the support, guys. We have a fun time down there at the law school. Certainly much more enjoyable than what we're going to witness inside Ben Hill Griffin Stadium come kickoff time. So if you'd like to have, come watch them ball, have some drinks, and talk with the boys, just we'll be at the same spot, same location. Come next Saturday in Gainesville.
So, with Burkle.
With Burkle. Can't forget our boy. Poor kid. I feel bad. I mean, just – and you can't delete the tweet, right? It's way too deep. So it's got to live
on the end. Yeah. We don't delete tweets around
here. No.
Ever. You thought you'd get out of here unscathed, Dad.
There's no – I mean – You should have thought about this whole Lane Kiffin, going down a rabbit hole with Jimmy Sexton clients, never going to LSU before you started paper hands in over there on the delete button.
Now that it's been addressed, we can't address it again. That we can't repeat content. I deleted a tweet or two. Sue me.
Who among us
hasn't had bad tweets?
I certainly am not going to say I have not had bad tweets.
Maybe it was good tweets that I just.
Well, I just got some tweets to clean up if I'm not confident come Saturday morning when Lane makes his decision between.
And in the paint.
Diamond hands, Hunter. So a lot of people made a lot of money being having diamond hands, and a lot of people lost.
It's easy for me to say. I don't tweet like the other three guys on this screen. You guys seem like you go viral every 20 minutes on the Twitterverse.
They did not like. Ole Miss fans did not like that the swamp was packed tonight. By the way, they did not like it.
We do appreciate all the Ole Miss. It is Thanksgiving, the spirit of thanks, so we appreciate all the LSU and Ole Miss fans who have really driven our engagement the last 2 weeks.
Subscribe, follow us. All of our handles are in the Breakfast with the Gators Twitter page. And we'd like to thank you for your coach as well this holiday season for bringing him to Gainesville, Florida. And rehabbing them in little old Oxford the last 6 years.
It is really funny. It's really funny that like last week, all these Ole Miss fans were just in my mentions, just killing me. And then once the LSU smoke comes out and I'm just sending a few mindless tweets about LSU, all the Ole Miss fans started following me. And they're like, this guy knows exactly what he's talking about. And I'm like, don't get it twisted, fellas. I'm coming back for you. I need to focus on LSU for a week.
Well, you've been bookmarking any tweets. I've got like 300 in the inventory when Lane decides to come to Florida.
I've got a couple. I want to take it easy on those folks. They already have to live in Mississippi and Louisiana.
That's fair.
If someone reads those tweets to them, they're going to be really mad at you guys.
Yeah.
Great show, fellas. Hey, next time we get together, I guess we'll have a midweek show.
I don't know. Do we? Thanksgiving week, it's a short week. People are traveling. I'll be around. I don't know if we'll have we'll probably get Edgar for the third time or branch out to find someone talk Lane Kiffin sweepstakes Tuesday night.
I guess there's a little bit to talk about. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
One of the next two episodes, we're going to have a new coach. That's exciting.
That is.
Sure. Put it that way. Yeah, that's it's going to be a stressful week, though. A lot of rumors. I'm confident where the Gators are. I like it. I like us being behind the scenes, kind of submerged in the waters, and let LSU and Ole Miss fall flat on their face and bring Lane home. Bring him to the swamp.
Layla, da-da-da.
You got me on my knees, Layla.
Well, guys, we appreciate it. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, follow us on Twitter and YouTube. And we'll catch you again for another episode of Breakfast with the Gators.
Go Gators in all kinds of weather.
Go. Even when it's not profitable.
Even.